Unbelievable. Okay, well, thank you, Chava. Thank you very, very much. I want to thank Rabbi Tarrigan for inviting me again. He's invited me a couple times to be involved in his holy work, and for whatever reason, it's never worked out. But I'm so happy that we're able to do this tonight on our end, in the morning on your end. We have to get ready for Yom Kippur, so let's talk about Yom Kippur. I want to talk about Yom Kippur. I want to begin with a story. There was a tzaddik at the beginning of the 20th century named Rav Yehuda Leib Maizlik. And this Rav Maizlik was in Russia, and he had one child, a daughter. And he decides one day, he's walking with his daughter along the Dnieper River, which runs through many countries. He's walking there along the river, and he says to his daughter, he says, "You know, you're my only daughter. You're everything that I have." And she says, "Yeah, of course, of course." And he says, "You know, I'm not going to be here forever. I'm not going to live forever." And she says, "Of course, you know, Tati, Abba, of course, like I understand." And he says to her, a girl who he raised in Russia in the early 20th century, which was not an easy thing to raise her in a way of Torah and mitzvos, he says to her, he says, "You know, I know I don't need to tell you that I want you to live a halachic life. I don't need to tell you that I want you to live a life that is informed by Torah. But," he says, "I just want you to understand, I want you to understand, you're the one individual who's going to carry on my entire legacy. And my legacy is the legacy of our family for all generations." And she says, "Of course, I understand. And I'll try to live an elevated life. Of course I will." And he says, "Let me just give you a mashal just to try to explain." It was an awkward conversation. I mean, obviously, she knew that he wanted him to be from. There was obviously clearly many pressures that she was facing in her life to carry on a life of Torah and mitzvos. And he points to a bridge and he says, "Let me tell you a mashal." He says to his only daughter, he says, "You see that bridge over there?" He said, "You know, many years ago, it took hundreds of workers to construct that bridge." And he says, "Imagine, if you will, on the day that the bridge is finally ready to be used for the first time." His treasurer comes out and he says, "Okay, I'm prepared to pay you for the bridge. I just want to make sure that the bridge is functional. Got to make sure it's safe, a final inspection." And they decided, he says, imagine they decided that they're going to take 40 wagons to travel across the bridge just to make sure that it's sturdy. So they fill these wagons up with supplies and they start heading across the river. 10 wagons on the bridge, no problem, the bridge is holding strong. 20 wagons on the bridge, 25 wagons on the bridge, 30 wagons on the bridge. It's a good solid bridge, it's holding up. 31, 32, 33, 34, 35. All of a sudden, the bridge starts to sway a little bit. It starts to get a little shaky. 36, 37. All of a sudden, things are starting to get a little bit rocky. 38, 39. The bridge looks like it's about to collapse. The 40th wagon pulls onto the bridge, and the whole bridge collapses. The whole bridge collapses. Crumbling, you hear the cracking sound of the beams as the whole thing comes crashing down into the river down below. And what took so many months of building and building and building, all this effort to create this bridge, all the engineers and all the workers, the whole thing got washed away in a pile in the river. And needless to say, the builder wasn't paid for such a bridge. So Rav Maizlik turns to his daughter and he says, "You have to understand," he says, "you're the last wagon. In my life, you're my last wagon. Because when I'm gone, you're everything. You carry on the Mesorah. Everything that I've received from my parents, all the way back to the Abbos and the Imos, you're that next link in the chain. And if you keep that in mind, I promise you'll be able to make sure the bridge stays strong. But if you lose sight of that, if you don't understand the responsibility that you're carrying, so to speak, as that final wagon, so then, God forbid, the whole thing could be swept away, the whole thing can collapse." Rav Maizlik was a healthy person when he had this conversation, this awkward conversation at the Dnieper River one day with his daughter. But that night he had a massive stroke, very suddenly. He was a healthy person. He had this massive stroke and he fought for his life for 4 days, and Rehuda Leib Maizlik returned to his neshama, to Avinu Shebas Shemayim. And when I read this story a couple of summers ago, I filed it away in my notes for Yom Kippur, because to me, this is the story of Yom Kippur. And Bifrat, it's the story of Yom Kippur for Jews living in the time period in which we're living, which is the Ikvas of the Mashiach, the end of days. It's the 40th wagon. The story actually was about 40 wagons. I'm not sure why he picked 40 wagons, but when I read that story, I said, we're at the end of the 40th wagon. We started in Chodesh Elul. The Tzaddikim talk about these 40 days, a month of Elul plus the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Yom Kippur is putting that 40th wagon, so to speak, onto the bridge. And everything is dependent upon what's going to happen on Yom Kippur. Everything's going to be decided. And we come to Yom Kippur, and at the end of Yom Kippur, we're pushing that last wagon, so to speak, onto the bridge, and we're hungry and we're tired. And we were looking forward to Sukkot already. We're trying to figure out how that's going to look this year, especially in Eretz Yisrael. For many of you, you know, things are shifting from 1 minute to the next. But we have to understand that Rav Maizik empowered his daughter, and she said to, you know, Dad, I got it. I understand. I have this achrayus, I have this responsibility to uphold everything. Everything, chevra, every shir that you heard in the month of Elul, every tefillah that you davened, everything is now waiting. The bridge has to see if it can hold. And Yom Kippur is going to be that moment when we determine whether or not the bridge is going to hold. The Shemi Shmuel writes, the Holy Rebbe of Sukkotchev writes in Parshas Nitzavim, listen to these words, they're beautiful. Uvechein al yipol lev ha'adam. A person should not be despondent. Don't be depressed. You look yourself in the mirror and you're honest for a moment. You look at the ma'amake libo and you say, She'ena yachol lasas tshuva karaoi. I read the Rambam's Hilchos Tshuva, that the Yodea Ta'alumos has to look into my heart and see that I'm never going to do an Avera again. I say to myself, it's not Shaykh. I don't know how to do tshuva. I'll never do the full tshuva, the tshuva gemura that the Rambam describes in the opening prakim of Hilchos Tshuva. Writes the Shem Yishmuel, Mikol Makom Al Yimna Milasos Zeh Ma'at. But says the Shem Yishmuel, do whatever you can. You know why? Ki Kol Pruta Upruta Mishalemes L'Cheshbon. Borrowing from the Gemara in Sota, because every penny, every shekel adds up. Ve'im Kain, and therefore, a person who does his little part, Shebezeh Ha'ma'at, Ashurav, Shebezeh Ha'ma'at, Zocha La'ashlamas Komas HaTshuva. You see, we think of tshuva like, these are the days, I gotta do tshuva gemura. But your whole life is a process of trying to do tshuva gemura. So last year you added a little bit, and the year before you added a little bit. And maybe now you just need to kind of tip the scales a little bit. You just need to add that last touch. Or God forbid, by not adding that last little bit, with regards to tshuva, you lose out on a good thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in store for you. Ulefi advar me'ela, says the Shem Yishmuel. We now understand what the Svarim tell us, that when a person is in a difficult situation and they feel this need to do tshuva, even though they're sitting here in a situation and they're saying, I wish I could go to the Kotel regular, every day. I wish I could go places. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, and things are getting tighter and things are locking down even more in Eretz Yisrael. And I want to be able to have the full experience. And a person cries out to a Kadosh Baruch Hu from that place and he feels his mind is all over the place. But he does what he can. Mikol makom hi mishalemes es acheshbon. Says the Shem Yishmuel, maybe you're just putting that last bit of tshuva on top. V'chein nami yesh lomar bechlalus. And it's not just you and yourself, it's all of Klal Yisrael. We're trying to figure out, how is this generation going to bring Mashiach? We're nothing compared to earlier generations. We're not nearly as great, not in learning, not in davening, not in the Vodas Hashem. So how are we, a door, he says, that is namuch ulevavos atumim, and our hearts are clogged, congested. How are we going to be the door that brings Mashiach? There's a Yeridas Hadoros. Ki bedor hayoser achron einenu chaser rak ha-ma'at lahashlim. But says the Shem Yishmuel, because maybe we're standing on the shoulders of giants, to paraphrase one of the Rishonim. We just need to add that last little bit on top. So we come to Yom Kippur and we're thinking, here I am, Lifnei Hashem, I got to do everything. You don't have to do everything. We're that last wagon. We just have to make sure that that last wagon finds its place, so to speak, on that bridge. And then we're zocha to everything falling into place. Val Kain concludes the Shem Yishmuel, therefore, Muvan afshirus ha-tshuva afilu bedoros ha-namuchim ulevavos atumim kamono hayom. Our generation, yes, we are able to do our job. And it shouldn't be, he says, a pella in our eyes that every day we're waiting for Mashiach Tzidkenu. Because we're thinking, how am I going to do what earlier generations didn't do? Friends, we just need to add that last bit on top. Mikol makom tzrichin l'schazek be'es ha'achron b'yoser, ki krova yeshuasi lavo, amen, keni hiratzon, ad kan, the words of the Shem Yishmuel. Chevra, Yom Kippur is the last day of this tkufa, of this period. From Elul to Yom Kippur is 40 days. And we're the last generation. And we have to believe that whatever we can accomplish on Yom Kippur, in those last moments, even if we feel like we didn't take full advantage of Elul, and we didn't take full advantage of Rosh Hashanah, and I should have pushed myself to keep my eyes open a little more during Slichos, but it was hard and I was exhausted, and I'm getting used to a new Seder, a new schedule of learning in Yeshiva. Right? But we have to realize that if we just add that last little bit, all those little pieces, they start to add up and they form a beautiful picture. During these days, we've been saying Avinu Malkeinu. I have a personal minhag. I made it up. I don't know if it's Apicursis. But when I say Avinu Malkeinu, I like to say Avinu a little bit louder than Malkeinu. Because they're both true. Im kebanim, im ka'avadim. We're children of Hashem. We're also avadim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you'll notice that while in Rosh Hashanah the emphasis is Malkeinu, 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 crowning the king, HaMelech, v'yitnu l'cha keser melucha. Chaver, when we come to Yom Kippur, when we come to the last Mishnah Maseches Yoma, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael, lifnei mi atem, before whom do we purify ourselves, u'mi mitar eschem? It's not Avinu Malkeinu anymore. You come to Yom Kippur and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who purifies us on Yom Kippur? Avichem Shebashamayim. It's that loving parent-child relationship. We have to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't look at us and laugh at us on Yom Kippur. This is what you show up with, this little bit. This is what you bring to the table on Yom Kippur. We have to realize we're just adding that final touch. One of the tzaddikim, Rav Tzvi Meir Zilberberg Shlita, says that the tears that we cry on Yom Kippur are tears of joy. We may not realize it, it's subconscious. But you know what we're really crying about? We're crying over that moment on Yom Kippur where we have the realization that we can actually do this. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually desires us. That Avinu Shabbat Shemayim, no longer that Avinu Malkeinu. There's always that balance of Avinu Malkeinu. But if Rosh Hashanah is Malkeinu, Yom Kippur is where we emphasize Avinu. And therefore we come to Yom Kippur feeling invited in by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We come with that last wagon hoping that we can uphold the whole bridge of our Masorah, all of Jewish history. And we dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we should be thinking about during these days, these last couple of days getting ready for Yom Kippur. We dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, please give us the strength to just make it to the finish line. We're so close, Chevra, we're so close. We're not offering predictions, but we feel it. We feel that we're so close to the finish line. The Sfas Emes writes, in explaining the bracha in Vizos HaBracha, it's a bracha that some Rishonim say is the end of the bracha of Asher, Shevet Asher. Some of the Rishonim explain it's the bracha that Moshe gives to Klal Yisrael when he's done giving out the individual brachos to each of the Shvatim. The Pasuk says, in Vizos HaBracha, Moshe says to Klal Yisrael, Ukiyamecha Davecha. Two words that are a little hard to translate. Ukiyamecha, like your days, Davecha, your old age. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to Klal Yisrael, like the days of your prime, you should be just as good in your old age. Explains the Sfas Emes, a gewaldic piece of Torah in his writings on Sukkos. Ksiv ukiyamecha davecha, like the days of your prime, so to your old age. Shem Moshe Rabbeinu olav shalom bidoro, shayador hachoshuv mikol hadoros. Moshe Rabbeinu, with his unbelievable vision, looking into the future. Moshe Rabbeinu returns to a generation which was the greatest generation. He says, just like we are now in our prime, Moshe was davening, I hope when we get to our old age. Chaver, what's our old age? Historically, we're old now. We're the old Jews, so to speak. This is the end of time. We're past our prime. We're not the Dordea. We're the Ikvas of the Mashiach. The Akiv is the bottom. It's the heel. It's the lowest part of the body. It's the part that gets trampled. It's the part that's covered over by a sock and by a shoe. I guess if we wear a sandalim, maybe just a shoe. Right? But it's the part of the body that's hard, that's kasheh, and it gets pounded on. However much you weigh, that's how many pounds are pounding on your heel all day. But Moshe Rabbeinu said, I bless you, Klal Yisrael, that you should believe in yourself in your old age like you believe yourself in your prime. Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to the greatest generation, Zachar bedoros ha'achronim, bedoroseinu ata. The Sfas Emes is writing this in the late 1800s. Moshe Rabbeinu was looking to the end of time, the last generations, and he referred to them as the Yemei Zikna, as the old age of Klal Yisrael. Shal Yedei Zem Mavakshin, and that's what we daven when we say in Shema Kolenu, Al Tashlichenu Le'ei Zikna. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't throw us away when we get old. What does it mean? It means when I'm an Alter Yid, I'm 90 years old, and I'm schlepping down the street of Yerushalayim with my cane, those are the sweetest Jews in the world. Hashem's not throwing them away. It's talking about Jews at the end of time, when we're not as great as the earlier generations. Where Rav Maizlik has to have that embarrassing conversation with his daughter, saying to her, you have to realize that the choices you're going to make in your Yiddishkeit are going to uphold the Masorah or cause the whole bridge to collapse. Kichlos kochenu al ta'azvenu, al tashlichenu le'zikna. Don't throw me away in old age, Hashem. Kichlos kochenu, when our strength is running out, al ta'azvenu, don't abandon us. Hashem believes in us. Avinu is calling out to us and inviting us in. Moshe Rabbeinu, on the last day of his life, is full strength. Vayelech Moshe. He's still a holech. He's still steiging. Whereas the pasuk says, "Umosha ben Meya ve'esrim shana b'moso lo chasa eino v'lo nas lecho." Full strength, perfect eyesight. He wasn't wearing glasses. I'm 39 years old. I've been wearing glasses for a long time already. Moshe Rabbeinu is 120. He doesn't have glasses. He doesn't have contacts. He's running. He's got full strength. Lo nas lecho. He hasn't lost his vigor. He's mamish full strength. But part of the strength of Moshe Rabbeinu's eyes is that he's able to look into the future. He's able to look at each and every one of us. Moshe Rabbeinu, our Rebbe. And he's able to say, I give you a bracha, that ki amecha davecha. Believe in yourself at the end of days, like I believe in Klal Yisrael right now in their prime. There's an unbelievable vart from the Mittler Rebbe from Lubavitch. The Mittler Rebbe from Lubavitch wrote in the Sefer Ma'amarim, Shnas Tafresh Ayin Tes, explaining the pasuk Va'ish Moshe Anav Ma'od. Moshe, we know, is the most humble Jew of all time. And how is Moshe so humble? The pasuk says, Va'ish Moshe Anav Ma'od Mikol Ha'adam Asher Al Pnei Ha'adamah. Moshe was the most humble person from anyone on the face of the earth. But the Mittler Rebbe from Lubavitch said such a beautiful vart. He said, you know how Moshe was so humble? Where did Moshe get his humility from? Va'ish Moshe anav ma'od, you know why? Mikol ha'adam, asher al pnei ha'adama. Because Moshe, with that awesome Ruach HaKodesh, that amazing vision, looked into the future, and he saw a young man like yourself, sitting in, you know, plexiglass boxes, trying to learn Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm in awe of you. I'm blown away. Moshe Rabbeinu looked at Kol Adam. He looked at the Jews at the end of time. Mikol Adam. Everyone who would ever be on planet Earth. And he saw our generation. With his awesome vision, he saw our generation. And he saw how we're still fighting to uphold the legacy of Torah, even though we're not like the earlier generations. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm humbled by you. I'm in awe of you. The Tzaddikim explain actually an amazing remez, a beautiful gematria. The Tzaddikim explain that the gematria of Mikol Ha'adam Asher Al Pnei Adama, which according to the Mittler Rebbe is Moshe Rabbeinu looking at us. Mikol Ha'adam Asher Al Pnei Adama is exactly gematria Ikvus of the Mashiach, the period that's going to usher in Mashiach. Moshe Rabbeinu was looking at us, Chavra. And he was looking at us with humble eyes, saying, wow, Al Tashlichinu Lei Zikna. Hashem, don't throw them away. Believe in them. And Hashem looks and Hashem says, of course I believe in them. But now the burden's on us. We have to believe in ourselves. To believe that if we show up to Yom Kippur and we feel like we didn't prepare, there's still time. There's still plenty of time left. Let's learn an unbelievable Gemara in Maseches Tanis. Yotes Amud Beis on Techof Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells a story about Nachdimon Ben Gurion. Nachdimon Ben Gurion once saw that there was a shortage of rain. There was a drought, a terrible drought. And he borrowed 12 wells of water from some Gentile officer to be able to assist Jews who were coming up to Yerushalayim, Aliyah L'Regel. To distribute water to people. And the officer says to him, Nachdimon, I'm giving you 1 year to pay back, or if not, I'm charging you an exorbitant sum. No problem. You'll get the money back in time. Okay. The year comes. I have 1 day. I still got time. It was Shachris on the last day. I still have the whole day. So the officer looks at him and he laughs at him. Ligle galav oso adon, the master, the officer, he laughs at him. Amar, kol hashana kula lo yardu geshamim v'achshav yardu geshamim. What, all year round, what? All year round there was no rain, and now all of a sudden, on the last day of the year, all of a sudden, but because you're in trouble, all of a sudden it's going to start to rain. Now all of a sudden it's going to start, where have you been the whole time? Now it's going to start to rain. Nichtas labes hamerchas besimcha. The officer went to enjoy himself in the bathhouse. While this officer, this Gentile officer, went into the bathhouse to enjoy himself, Nachdimon ben Gurion entered into the Beis HaMikdash, the end of Bayis Sheni, and he was so sad, but he knew, I have one thing I need to do, and that's to wrap myself in a talis and to daven to Hashem. This ate va'omad betfila. He wrapped himself in a talis and he got up to daven, and he said, Ribono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, you know that I didn't put my neck on the line for my own honor. I did this for you. I did this for your honor, that Jews coming to Aliyah L'Regel should have what to drink. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm begging you, please make it rain. And all of a sudden the Gemara says, out of nowhere, the sky became overcast, and rain started to fall, and the 12 wells that Nachdimon owed to this Gentile, the cistern started filling up with water, and even more water till the point that it was overflowing. The Gentile comes out of the bathhouse, and Nachdimon says, see, the water is here. You made it just in time. So the Gentile looks up at the sky and he says, it's after Shkia. Tanis daf chaf amir aleph, it's after Shkia. It's too late. The year is up. You owe me the money. You lost. The deal. The deal is off. Nachdiman Ben Gurion walks back into the Beis Hamikdash. Chazer v'nichnas lebeis hamikdash. Nisatev, he wraps himself in a talis once again. Va'amr v'tvila. Va'amr lefanav. Listen to this. Such a beautiful line. Ribono sho olam. Hodeyal sheyesh lecha ahuvim ba'olamecha. Let it be known that there are people who you love in this world. Hashem, it was enough of a miracle that you did it once for me, that you caused it to rain. I know I asked a lot. But Hashem, prove to this person, prove to this individual, that the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Jewish people knows no limits. Prove, sheyesh lecha ahuvim ba'olamecha, that there are people who you love in this world. And you know what happened? The clouds parted, and the sun was shining. And Nachdiman pointed to the sun, and he said, it's still before Shkia. I made it just in time. And the officer says to him, had I not seen the sun come out again, you would have owed me the money. But now I see how much the Jewish God loves his people. The question is, why did Hashem wait till the last second? Hashem could have made it rain the entire year. He could have paid back the wells the entire year. What's the point of this unusual agarata? Why did Hashem wait, mamish to the last second, and what appeared to be even after the last second, to finally cause the rain, to be able to save Nachdiman Ben Gurion and by extension Klal Yisrael? And the answer is, I think, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching that even when it's too late, when it's after the Zman, when you mamish missed the boat, and he lost the bet, and he owed money to this officer, and he pointed to this guy, he said, see, there's nothing you could do at this point. It's after Shkia. But Chavar, it's never too late. Even when it's too late, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching Klal Yisrael that it's not too late. The Amshin of a Rebbe from Yerushalayim, Shlita, the Heilige Amshin of a Rebbe lives beyond time, Chavar. If you've heard of the stories of the Amshin of a Rebbe, he operates on a different plane of existence. His Shabbos, his Yom Tov, he's literally living in a different world. So one year on Erev Yom Kippur, the Amshin of a Rebbe was sitting with some of his Hasidim, and he was eating Sudam Afsekis, and it was getting really late. And the Hasidim were looking outside. It's mamish getting late. It's time for Kol Nidre. And the Rebbe's sitting. He's relaxed. He's eating his Suda. He's taking his time. And the Hasidim are, you know, they don't want to tell the Rebbe what to do, but it's mamish. You know, it's time. The fast is starting any second. It looks like it's almost starting right now. So finally, one Hasid holds up a watch and he waves the watch at the Amshin of a Rebbe. And he says, Rebbe, Rebbe, the watch! The watch! Look what time it is! The Rebbe, the watch! And the Rebbe says back to him, ah, yes, the watch. The Amshin of Rebbe, who lives beyond time, says, ah, yes, the watch. He says, I'm very well aware of the time. He says, but you have one watch and I have two watches. Your watch says that it's getting late. And I have that watch also. It is getting late. But I also have another watch that says that there's still time. The second watch tells me that there's still time. Nachdiman Ben Gurion, after everything was lost, the bet was off, he owed the money to the Gentile officer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Nachdiman, just go daven, come back to Beis HaMikdash. Go into Beis HaMikdash again. Go under your talis like we do and scream out, Hashem, Hashem, Keil Rachum V'chanun on Yom Kippurim. In the closing moments, Ne'ila, when the gates are being locked, because Shari Dima'os Lo Ninalu, because the gates of tears are never locked. It didn't rain all year, maybe as a metaphor. You didn't cry the whole year. Now all of a sudden you come crying to me at Ne'ila. You come crying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Hashem says, it's fine, I take you back. But it's so late that I missed the boat. Hashem says, you never missed the boat. You're the ikvus of the Mashiach. You're that 40th wagon. You're the people who Moshe Rabbeinu himself was humbled in front of. Isn't it amazing? And it's a whole sugya. We don't have time to go into it right now. The whole sugya of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. It's interesting. A whole amazing discussion in the Rishonim about what is the mitzvah of Tosefes. The Rambam seems to emphasize in Hilchas Shvisas HaAsur, the laws of Yom HaKippurim, the Rambam seems to emphasize the Tosefes Yom HaKippurim even more than Tosefes Shabbos. Some Rishonim emphasize Tosefes Shabbos. The Rambam seems to gloss over the concept of Tosefes Shabbos. The Rambam understands the sugyas that talk about the inyan of Tosefes Kedusha. The Rambam seems to understand that that's primarily talking about Yom HaKippurim. The Rambam writes, Kishem sheshvus malacha bo bein bayom bein balayla, kach shvus li'inoi bein bayom bein balayla. Vitzarech lahosif michol ala kodesh b'chnisa so uv'yitzia so. Chevra, I want you to think about this Rambam. The Rambam says you have to add on to Yom Kippur a little bit at the beginning and a little bit at the end. Shenemar v'inisem es nach shoseichem b'tisha lachodesh b'erev, and the Gemara has different sugyas in Rosh Hashanah, in Moed Katan, teaching us that we have a concept of Tosefes. Why do we add on a little bit at the beginning? We add on, I think, b'derach machshava, you could say. We add on a little bit at the beginning because we don't want to be Jews who show up at the last second. We want to show up early. I don't want to be running into Kol Nidre once it's already started. I want to be there early. I want to have time to say the tefillos, tefillah zakah, to say it slowly, to be ready, to prepare myself. Hopefully I've been preparing from the beginning of Elul, if not earlier, to get myself ready for the Yom HaKadosh, Yom HaKippurim. So the Tosefes Yom HaKippurim says, I'm not a Jew who shows up last minute. I add on to Yom Kippur. I'm so ready, I'm ready early. But the Rambam says you also have to add on at the end of Yom Kippur. We have to extend Yom Kippur after Yom Kippur is over, as if to say that even if it's over, it's not over. Like Nachdima Ben-Gurion, there's always time. There's still a little bit of time, living on borrowed time, to be able to say there's still time. Like the option of a Rebbe, when the watch was being waved in his face, there's two watches. There's a watch that says, Ikvas of the Mashiach, you're going to bring Mashiach. It's too late. But there's another watch that says, don't worry, there's still time. I want to end with a story from the Boston Rebbe. The Boston Rebbe Zatzal, Rav Levi Yitzchak Horowitz, an amazing tzaddik, in Boston and then in Har Nof, passed away in 2009. The Boston Rebbe described, lovingly, how he used to watch from the Hasidic Center in Boston, which is on Beacon Street. He said you could see from the Hasidic Center, you could see the Boston Marathon running by. And he said, if you looked out the window of the Hasidic Center on Beacon Street, it's located about 2 miles from the end of the marathon. A 26-mile long marathon, the last 2 miles, you pass right by the Boston Rebbe's Beis Medrash over there in Boston. And the Rebbe said, for those who are the leaders of the race, after about 2 hours from the start of the race, they're already passing by the Hasidic Center on Beacon Street. He says, if you look outside 2 hours after that, imagine the marathon started at noon, you look out 4 hours into the race, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. He says, this is what you'll see. And I quote, these are his words. If you look out the window at 4 o'clock, 2 hours after the leaders have passed, you'll still see some runners. Well, you couldn't call them runners anymore because they're not running. They can barely walk. They'll make a supreme effort telling themselves, I'm not going to drop out 2 miles before the finish line. I've got to get to the finish line. 4:30 comes, 5 o'clock. I have to finish. I'm not going to drop out. You can see the agony, the pain in their legs. There's no one around to cheer them on anymore. They're schlepping, they're dragging themselves across the finish line, just trying to finish the race, just because they know they can do it. And they don't have the strength. It doesn't make sense. And they're not going to win the race. They're not the leaders. They're not that great generation that Moshe Rabbeinu was talking to. The Dor HaChoshuv Mikol HaDoros, in the language of the Sfas Emes. But like the Shem Yishmuel said, they're a generation that just wants to add that final bit of tshuva, to bring Klal Yisrael across the finish line. Ki amecha davecha, like your prime, so to your old age. Moshe Rabbeinu looks at us, the ikvas of the Mashiach, begamatria mikol ha'adam asher al-penei adama. And he looks at us and he says, I'm humbled by you. Because you're going to do something on Yom Kippur. You're going to put that 40th wagon on the bridge, and this time the bridge is going to stand. This time, Klal Yisrael, the bridge is going to stand. Klal Yisrael are going to do something awesome this year, Mirtz Hashem on Yom Kippur. We're going to usher in a year that's going to be like nothing we've ever seen before. A year of Geula, a year of Yeshua, awesome things. And Chavar, you're sitting there. You're sitting there at the place where you're going to watch that Beis HaMikdash come down. It's going to be so awesome. I'm so jealous of you. I'm stuck here in Chutz Lartz. I have to get there to Yisrael as quickly as I can. But this is the last couple of miles of the marathon. The end of time, the end of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, this is it. This is the final stretch. So you're probably much more exhausted than I am, since it's 4 o'clock in the morning. And by us, it's only 8:57 at night, 9 o'clock at night. So I want to give you a bracha. You're the leaders. I'm humbled by you, the way that Moshe Rabbeinu was humbled by Klal Yisrael. To have that strength, to make that push, to have this amazing mishmar, to try to keep learning and to go to the Kotel and to daven and Amir Tashem to just help Klal Yisrael, to drag us all across the finish line on your shoulders. So I give us a bracha. All of our tefillos should be answered this year. Halavai, this should be the Yom Kippur that, again, that ushers in that Geula Shlema. And Amir Tashem, we should all be united without any dividers, without any masks, without any plexiglass, without anything that's holding us apart. We should all come back together to Yerushalayim Yer Kodesh and be zochet to see the Beis HaMikdash and the Geula Shlema b'mehera b'yameinu amen. Gemar Chasima Tova, thank you so much for the schus of letting me be here. And have a great night. Have a good morning. Guten Erev Shabbos. Shabbat.